purpose, and that is to listen to you. And so, Father, as we come this morning to listen, we ask that you open our understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What you have for us this morning, help us, Lord, to comprehend it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we ask that the opportunity and the privilege to be the doer of the word grant unto us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. I want to submit myself unto you, God. Have your way in my life.
Amen.
Minister to your people through me, God.
Amen.
As vessel unto honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We're going to talk this morning on this topic, the relational beings. The relational beings. And before I go into the message, I have something I have to discuss with us. I don't know if any of us would have been, maybe you have been doubting of the existence of Jesus Christ or the fact that Jesus Christ is alive or not. I want to tell you what happened to me and in the Thursday 11th, I think 11th of February to Friday the 12th. There was a public holiday for us on the 12th. We call, I think, Nick Lincoln birthday. Some of us took the holiday. Some of you did not. I thank God for the privilege to take that holiday. So in the night of that Thursday to Friday, I had a revelation, and I was in a trance. In the past, I've been having revelations, but this one was very unique because this one touched my life. And I've been thinking about it. Maybe I should share with all of you just to kind of give you more confidence that Jesus Christ is alive. So in the revelation, in that trance, I was lying down, and Jesus came in. And as Jesus came in and lied down with me, it was on my left side. The old place changed. There was a great transformation of that environment. It was very radiant. And there was this announcement that this is Jesus Christ. I had you discussing this morning that how the other disciple recognized Moses and Elijah. You know, in a kind of revelation like that, or kind of exposition like that, God will always make it known if he wants to make it known who and who are present. So there was an announcement that this is Jesus Christ. And so as he came, you can see he was so radiant. You cannot say he's a black man or a white man. He was very radiant and, you know, very transparent. And he was in a white apparel. And he lied down with me. And we were just there, you know, talking, doing that. I was aware that I was having this trance. And I was aware that he was there with me. So we were just talking. And then at the time, he said, and this one I can remember very clearly, he said, "I'm going back to heaven." That's how he said it. "I'm going back to heaven." And when he said that, he didn't ask me, but something in me asked me to ask him something. I should ask, just ask something, ask a request from him. And so he stood up, both stood up. He was on my left side, and he was walking as he said, "I'm going back to heaven." He was walking, and he was about going, not there on the same level. Then when I asked him this question, that if you can keep me and be with me till the end. That is, I asked him that you should keep me and be with me till the end. I wrote this one down in my book so that I don't forget. And then he looked at me. Then he has to look back at me. And we had, you know, eye contact. Then he smiled and then left without saying anything. So when I woke up, to God be the glory, when I woke up in that trance, and in the morning I told my wife, and I was asking my wife, why didn't he say something when he just smiled? He smiled and he left. Very glorious. And then we were thinking about that, and we thought that was an approver of my request. And we thought again that it was like, why are you asking me that? That has already been guaranteed. I tell you, that was a great change in my life. That revelation really touched me. And I don't know why Jesus has to appear to me. Because I know not everybody may have that opportunity. But this was a unique opportunity, and this has changed my life in a different dimension. And in serving God, I'm telling you, there is no going back. I want to encourage all of you, Jesus Christ is real. This was a clear-cut revelation. I know I'm gifted to fall into trances. This is not like Is this no? I'm gifted to do that. When I was to meet my wife, I was in trances, in prayer and fasting. Very clear, caught trances. And I saw her, and that was the beginning. Today, next week, will be 20 years of marriage. So, and I know this is very unique. Jesus Christ is alive. If you have any doubt in your heart, please, don't doubt. He's alive. And what he said he will do in your life. I want you to trust that. I want you to please let your faith be strong in the Lord. Don't go back. Don't look back. If anything is discouraging you, please, don't allow devil to discourage you. Jesus is alive. And you are on the right path. To have given your life to Christ, you are on a right path. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And brethren, I want to encourage you. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. And at the end of the day, we'll see him in glory. In that revelation, I didn't want him to go because the old environment was glorious. It was radiant. I was not tired of being with him. I've heard people say, how is it going to be in heaven when you are just going to be there? Are you not going to be tired? I don't think you can ever be tired in the presence of God. I don't think you can never have enough of God. So I'm looking forward to heaven. I don't know about you. Honestly speaking, I am looking forward to heaven. And that one day, I will be with him forever. And that is my prayer. And let us go to today's message. Today's message is relational beings. Relational beings. I want to try as much as possible to use this one so that I can explain very well this message, and then you can see the screen also as we continue this message this morning. Amen. Sometimes this thing doesn't give me what I need. So if it doesn't give me what I need, I will have someone to help me out. Amen. I want to ask you, why do you think we were created? Or why do you think God created everything in this world? God created everything in this world for his pleasure. You are created for the pleasure of God. And God created all of us to have a relationship with him and with others. So, you are created for the pleasure of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You are created for the pleasure of God. And God created us to have relationship with each other and to have relationship with him. And the Bible put it this way. I want to go to Genesis. I don't know if that is going to come up on time. I'm going to Genesis. Now, let's see this. In the message on that I just finished last Sunday, the greatest sermon ever preached, when Jesus began to teach on how to live in the kingdom or kingdom living, in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, after Jesus finished his message, then he started to have relationship with his environment, with the people. He was interacting with people, he was talking to the people, and he was healing people and begin to relate with his environment. The same thing, when the Bible, the whole thing from the Bible, the entire Bible, from Revelation, or from Genesis to Revelation, is all about relationship. We are relational beings. Man, relationship with God, people, relationship with God, people and the environment. Well, they made, did come some type of graphical error here. That is, we are to relate with God, we are to relate with the people, and we are to relate with our environment. So as you see this on the screen, you can make adjustment if you want to put this thing down. When man was created, God put him into the Garden of Eden. So I'm back in Genesis. And I think we all know that. When God created man, he placed man in the garden for man to have relationship with the garden, to dress the garden, to have dominion over everything created, right? The relational beings. You need to relate with somebody. You need to relate with your environment. You cannot be alone. It's not possible. So, we are relational beings. So, as we continue in this message, you're going to see why it's so important that loneliness can kill somebody. And the Bible says, then the Lord God, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That is, to take care of the garden, to attend to the garden, and to keep the garden, to relate with the garden. And then God will come down in the cool of the day, and we have relationship with Adam. Cool of the day. They will have relationship together. One of the times that God will come down was when God came and they had sin and they were hiding themselves. So God has to come down to relate with them. Do you understand that? God has to come down to the garden to relate with Adam and Eve, to fellowship together with them, as they also fellowship and relate with the environment. Now, it is then God thought in his heart. And God began to say, it is not good for man to be alone. In verse 18, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helper comparable to him. I will make him an helper comparable to him. That is, it is not good that this man, Adam, should be alone in the garden. Adam has to relate with somebody, right? But then you can discover that after God created everything, there was no help found for Adam in all the animals. And we're going to get to that one as we continue. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him among the animals. Pets cannot replace people in your life. Listen, animal cannot replace your wife. Animal cannot replace your husband. Do you understand now? I'm not against you having pets, but they cannot replace the relationship we are talking about here now. You can have relationship with your environment, with animal, with anything, but the Bible says that with all that he created at that time, there was no help found suitable for Adam. Are we listening now? I want to talk to youth this time around. I'm getting to youth now. Hello? For youth, you need an helpmeet, someone suitable to you intellectually, morally, and physically. You cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. The consequences of wrong choices are painful and deadly. Tell somebody that. You may not take that from me. It's not everybody can be your helpmate. No. You have to. If you are a Christian, Bible said here that with all that God created among these animals, no helpmate found for Adam, because God wants somebody who can be compatible to Adam. And then Adam conducted the first operation and removed the rib from the side of Adam after he fell into sleep. The first operation. And Eve was created, amen, from Adam. And they were together. Even when they were to rebel, they rebelled together against God. They were compatible in everything. In trouble, they were compatible. In enjoyment, they were compatible. When they share the consequences, they share everything together. I have heard some youth think that they can just go around and do whatever they want to do. The consequences of bad choices is deadly. It's very painful. The consequences of taking wrong step is very painful. You may take it now, you may not take it now. You have to listen to others. This is what we have done in the past. We work on this land. And some youth think that they can go in and do it as they like. These days, we have had people living together in this country. They live together, they call themselves, roommates. A lady and a man, roommates. Some Christians are doing that now. They go in sleep with men. They think they can do it anyhow. I courted my wife for 3.5 years. There was no sexual intercourse. You can do it. You have to do it right to have the right solution. The consequences of taking wrong step is very painful and very deadly. Write this down. Very painful, very deadly. You are on the road. You are on this journey. If you like, listen. If you like, drop it and say, it's too hard. Do it as we're supposed to do it or as we must do it so you can have the right result. In engineering, you read books of engineers or professors that have gone by. You read their books and you follow their design pattern. You can make adjustments, but you have to do it right so that you don't have unnecessary catastrophe. Unnecessary accident. The same thing in life. If you want to look for examples, are you to tell youths, if you want to look at examples, look at the examples of people that have married years. Go to them for counseling. Let them advise you. Don't go to people that mess up everything. You can learn from them. Because anyone who falls into a dish is telling the one behind, take care, I fell in this dish. When you are passing through this side, take care so that you don't fall into the same dish. When they are making bad examples, they will not make you as a bad example. The mighty name of Jesus. When they are making good example, they will point to you. They will use you as a model, as a role model. In the world, there are some standards that they need you to attain to get to a particular level. You had Tiger Woods. He was humbled before his fans. He was humbled and he asked for forgiveness. He's a millionaire. He can say, forget it. What are you telling me? I don't want to do that. But listen, his fame is at stake. His popularity is at stake. And he told the people, give me another chance. That is, in your heart, have a space for me. Because he determined to rise again. Of course, his determination can lead him to rise again. If in the world they set this standard, then how much more in the Lord? It is in the church that people putting garbage in and garbage out. The Lord is on his throne. Listen to me, not all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not all that call unto me, Lord, Lord, we enter into my kingdom, but only those who desire to do the will of God that we enter the kingdom. You will be one of those who in the mighty name of Jesus. It's a very challenging road. Youth, I'm talking to you today. When God gave Adam his helpmeet, they were united. Their thinking faculty was going the same way. Their understanding, superb. When Eve told Adam, let's eat the fruit. I took it. It's good. Adam did not bother to ask God. He took it and enjoyed it because they were helped what? Even in trouble. Do it right. Let's follow the scriptures. You will have good result. Why do you have to be in hurry anyway? Why can't we follow the Bible anyway? People come into the church, they go out of the church. When they come into the church, they do whatever they like. And when they go out, they do whatever they want. The Lord will help us. The consequences of bad choices are painful, painful and deadly. Sometimes people think they can come out of it. Sometimes you may not come out. And sometimes you may come out and one of your legs is gone. You come out as a wounded person. You will not see. Look. The challenges that is beyond your faith will not happen to you. Sometimes you don't want to try some things. Because the result may mess you up big time. And some experiences are very painful. And people, some people, they will weep and say, if I can change this. Bible recorded that when Esau sold his birthright, he wept because he wanted to have it. He cannot have it back because it was too late. It will not be too late for you. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? We are relational beings. We relate together. We are relational beings. We have to relate together. And when you are to relate together with people, you have to look for people of the same passion to relate with. And so, in marriage is forever. It's something you have to do forever. So it's not something you take with joke. It's not something you gamble like playing a lotto. It's not something you do that. Come and ask me. This is 20 years now. And 23 and a half years of relationship. And I'm standing before you today. I have stories to tell. Bend on the road. Bubbles. Some potholes. But because God desired to be with me, I am an overcomer. We have the perfect will of God. We have the permissive will of God. You want to be in the perfect will of God, He will go with you. If you want to be in the permissive will of God and you ask God, I want to do this, He will allow you to do it, but then you will dance to the consequences. Israelite asked for a king. Very good example. And Samuel thought they had rejected him. He said, give them the king. They had not rejected you, but they had rejected me. Give them the king, but tell them the consequences of rejecting the perfect will of God and go into permissive will of God. And Samuel told them, they said, nay, give us the king. So when Saul came and began to mess up with their everything, David came, begin to mess up with their everything, even their wives. Who will they go to? Because God told them, this king will do this, we do that, we take this. Look, he's going to do this. They say, Samuel, nay, give us the king. Some people are doing the same thing today. Say, Pastor, relational beings, this is not marriage seminar. Leave that aspect. Leave us alone. We do whatever I want to do. Okay? I have my own family. You can't get my wife. And listen to me, you cannot get me. Jesus told me he's going to be with me till the end. If you like, put mini skirt. You cannot get me. You can get me. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen? I will not come before you weeping and asking for forgiveness because of messing, that kind of, come on. I'm not going to mess up that way. Don't think this pastor is too proud. It's a determination. The revelation I had changed the whole of me. Further. No more going back. If you want to follow me with Jesus, let's go. It's not a popular road. It's a narrow gate. Very narrow road. I told you in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, very, very narrow gate. In chapter 7, Jesus explained that narrow way to heaven. Doesn't take all this garbage we carry along. Doesn't take it. Shall we continue?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
The consequences of not doing things right are equally painful and deadly. You don't do things right as they're supposed to do it. The consequences of not listening to elders, of not listening to the Bible, are equally deadly and equally painful. And we are saying this is a very good thing so that parents can listen. Parents, listen. When your children, when they come to you, tell them, follow the Bible. Don't say it's popular. Is it popular? Everybody is doing it. Doesn't matter. If everybody is doing it, doesn't mean you should do it. Do it right. It's tough to rise. It takes a disciplined person to rise above others, to be above your peers. Doesn't come cheap. Stand out in the crowd. You can do it. The Bible tells me, holiness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. The wages of sin is death. The eternal life is what? Thank you. I say eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift of God. The wages of sin is death. Hey, this thing you are having, this information, some people, they pay the counselor to counsel them to listen to this kind of, when they mess up everything. Some cash aids, some high five. HIV is called I5. And when they mess up like that, now they come, they shake, they come shake. They can cancel you. They cannot remove it. You will manage it for the rest of that person's life. It's management. Children, listen to what we're talking about. And when somebody got that, it can change the whole of one's life. Your profession, everything, it's a stigma that to remove it may be, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Where you are cutting, it's not the time to go and be having what people that are married are having. Because you don't have right to do that. Until you are joined together before you begin to do that. Parents, tell them, don't let them do it under your roof. Set them out. If they want to do it, let them go and hire a hotel. Or they should go and do it on another roof. They will not do it in your house in Jesus' name. Yeah. Don't let them bring strange fire into your house. We are just going out. Go out in the public. Don't go out inside the corner. Inside darkness. Anyone who carries fire is going to burn your hand. Try it. Carry fire. It will burn your hand. And the mark is not going to be like ordinary surface. This one is hard. We are relational beings. We relate together. And as we relate together, if you want to have a life partner to relate together forever, do it right. Do you listen to me now? All this, our mommy and daddy, they have the same thing. Go and ask them. All this mommy there, ask them. They will tell you. Back home, they said, to marry is not the problem. To get money for soup, now the one, that is the challenge. I'm husband. Money to do husband is not a joke. Are you listening to me now? And those of you that are just cutting, make it an holy relationship. Because it's going to bring a lot of doubt into the relationship. The thing you go short forever. Let me speak English for those who may be hearing there in there. Something that will be with you forever. Why are you going there to, you know, they say, this one is your food. You won't sleep. Anxiety. Jesus treated, there was no time for me to have to treat the anxiety in that Matthew chapter 6. Jesus treated anxiety, treated money. There was no time for me to treat that. It's going to be a different topic entirely. This is your food. You are doing like a child. You sleep small. You go there. You go sleep back. You go there. Why? Sleep. It's your food. Nobody's going to steal it. There's no rat that will come and steal it there. Leave it. Leave it there. Then when you now wake up, you now put it on your table, you now have time to enjoy it. They say, you know, it's not good to eat like drive-through. You driving, eating, you relax. That's how marriage should be like. Not looking at window. Hey, is pastor coming? Hey, who is coming? Hey, you fast. No, relax. Go bathtub. When you are married, finally, jacuzzi. You do everything with confidence. You walk out with the woman. Nobody's going to say, why are you doing this? You say, I am Mr. This is Mrs. You do, yeah. You not don't come together, don't go together, don't everybody say they saw you today, they saw you today, etc. No. Do you enjoy that? The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. You say this is SU, Scripture Union, right? We're saying this so that parents that are here, you should know what the Bible is talking about marriage. Help your children. Do you understand now? Help them. When you help them, when they are at peace, you are at peace. When they get married in the right way, you will be happy. You can introduce. Don't you know my children? Don't you know this? You know, don't you know the husband? You are not going to be hiding your face. Hiding your face. Where are you coming? Where are you coming? Don't come here. When you see your children, you don't hide in Jesus' name. Listen, it's never too late with God. Don't be in a hurry. God's time is the best. Amen? God's time is the best. You will get your own if you can wait upon the Lord. God, they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. Let's go. This is part one. This is part one. We're going to do this as much as possible. We'll close and then next we will continue. Make effort to have an healthy relationship. Tell somebody. When you relate with people, make sure that you have an healthy relationship. Don't just relate with just anybody. In this topic or this title, the relational beings, we're going to touch so many things. Anyone who does not value you, deserve your friendship. It's not a matter of you hate somebody. No. Anybody that you will be with, that you are not happy, anybody that you will be with will be causing sorrow, and when you are not comfortable, come on. Life is too short. If you are with that person 1 hour in a day, make it 1 hour in a week. If it's somebody you cannot do with that or somehow. We relate together. But you have to look for quality time with people. You don't just want to relate with just anybody. The scripture is very clear about things like this. When God came in to relate with Adam and Eve, when the relationship became so bad, what happened to God? God has to stop that kind of relationship. In fact, Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. Do you remember that time? Because the relationship was not cordial again. Because sin came in. God is God. He's our Father. Don't just have just anybody who does not follow you say he's my friend. Is that friendship? Somebody who pull you down? Somebody who talk, who mess you up? Somebody who debase you among the people and you are calling that person your friend? You know that you hate that person? The Bible explained to us that we should love our neighbor like what? Not that you should love your neighbor more than yourself. When you continue to manage and continue to struggle with somebody who does not respect you, somebody who does not care about you, somebody who cannot be there for you, somebody who insults you, somebody who disgraces you, and you said, oh, the Bible says we should love everybody. You are misquoting what I said. Relationship can be healthy. Relationship can be unhealthy. I am telling you, have an healthy relationship with people. And that's why the issue of marriage is so important. You don't have somebody that will be giving you, headache all the time. Fighting all the time. Not agreement. You go to the mall, you go to fight when you are coming back. When you are going, you go to quarrel. You don't want to have that. There's nothing wrong to... Peace is so important in any relationship. They put some things here that I want to just... We can go back to some of this later. Quality relationship is the goal we all want our families and friends to be conscious, helpful, considerate, respectful, and supporting. Now, if you want to relate with people as we are relational beings, you want to relate with people that can be conscious about dealing with you, simple courtesy, that can be helpful to you, that can be so considerate, not selfish, that can be so respectful and supporting. As we are relating together in the church, even in the church, you cannot be alone. You need to relate with somebody. And as we relate together in the church, let us follow the scriptures. The old law was summarized into two. You love God with all your heart, with all your mind. I don't want to go to that again. It's on the screen before this time. We're going to make good, better arrangement on this later. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like the first. You love your neighbor like yourself. Now, if you really want to show that love, as Jesus even explained in John chapter 15, you must be conscious when you relate with people. It's a courtesy. You must respect these people. You must be very, very considerate. You must be very, very helpful as we relate together. Amen. Even husband and wife, as you relate together in your family, you want your family to have the peace that God has designed for an healthy relationship. There must be respect. There must be courtesy. We must be very considerate. We must be very helpful for each other. You cannot be selfish and say you are relating with your husband or you are relating with your wife. Children, do you understand now? You cannot be selfish when you are relating with your parents. And that's what this place is standing on. Everyone is looking and searching for relationships that are compatible with who we are, right? If you want to marry, you don't just want to marry somebody who is not compatible with you. You are taking a very big risk. We're talking of you spending the rest of your life with that person. And if you want to have a friend, this is what you look for. You don't want a friend that will not be compatible with you, that all the time you'll be fighting. What if you are fighting, Jesus comes? What's going to happen? That can cost you heaven. And so, we're all looking for that. People that we treat us as valued individuals, right? Those are the people you are looking for. People that every one of us want to look good, want people to treat us well as we relate together. Adam and Eve were relating together perfectly. We have seen in the Bible, Jesus and the disciples, they were relating together. And Jesus begin to, among the 12 disciples, we also have the three inner carcass. Among the 12 disciples that Jesus will go with to many secret places. He took these three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Give them their names. Thank you. John, James, and Peter. And when they were there, Jesus told them, don't tell anybody this thing that we have seen until the Son of Man is glorified. There they saw Elijah, they saw Moses, and they kept this secret. You should look for somebody who's so compatible with you, somebody you can tell your secret to, that will keep your secret, that can still take you as you are, that will not disgrace you, that will not insult you because of knowing your secret. Are you with me? You must look for these people that value you. Somebody who does not value you does not deserve your friendship. Are you with me now? It's very important. Don't I just go around like a blind people and say, I am a Christian. In those days when we are on the campus, some Christians, they will not wash their mouth. They will dress anyhow. They say because they are Christian, when they are talking to you, their mouth is smelling. I don't know where they get. Yes, some Christians like that before. They say because they are Christian. When we are back home in the campus, some Christians are like that. Some of them will not even take their bath regularly. I withdraw, not take regularly. You think ladies will like that? Ooh. Even my titty, 5-year-old, was telling the mother, today we are going to do something in the school. Dress me like a queen. Dress me like a queen. And she was telling her mother the kind of dress she will put on, she will look like a queen. And the mother was telling her, you can't wear this to school now. Just be casual to school. Okay, mommy. Ah. Self-esteem. We all want to be respected. We all want to be valued. We all want to, you know, that's how God created us. It's not somebody who will just look down on you because he has some little bit of your secret. He's talking, he's messing you up. He cannot keep the secret. And you still go back there. You see what my husband did? I see that. You call his friend. See those people? They fight all the time. They just left my house now. They will call it in Yoruba language, Arale. Demand your neighbor. Your neighbor. And you think you have the best friend. I cannot do anything without my best friend. I cannot. There is no friend like Jesus. But then when you are going to choose any friend, use your number 6. Praise the Lord. Anywhere we go, we expect to be treated as a valued person, right? You go to gas stations, you go to mall, you go to doctor's office. We expect courtesy, consideration, respect, help, and support, even in the church. If you want to love each other in the church, don't just talk by mouth. Treat people with respect. Treat people with courtesy. Be helpful, be considerate. Don't be selfish. Smile all the time. Don't greet somebody. And you know, some of us, we use this unnecessary body language. You know, some people, they do that. You know, people get put off when they use body language. You know, you are talking to somebody, he's doing like this. It's like, say anything you want to say. I'm not listening to you. If you are talking to your child and he's doing like this, he's telling you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you talk too much, I will call police. That's the body language. When you are talking to somebody, he's looking down like this. It's like he doesn't care what you're going to do. Or you call somebody on the phone. It's Nyoni. He's telling you. Summarize. I don't get time for all this talk. Praise the Lord. We want to be treated with respect. When you talk, come on, don't let us, we are a relational being. You cannot be alone. You need to relate with people. You need to relate with your environment. Even in the church, in the family, on the street. If you go to a doctor's office and you are not treated well, you don't want to go back there. We went to a dentist. The whole place was like no man's land. Very dirty and this. That was the last time we went back there. Even my children said, this is not the place. One can get problem here. Because the environment, then they were calling our house. We changed the dentist. Because we change immediately. They were calling the house, are you going to come back? You change your smile. We are not coming back. We are relational beings. We relate together. We shall continue this message in Jesus' name. I want you to be around. I want you to be around. I want to go back and read some of those Bible passages, and then we want to pray, and then we'll continue. This is part one, and hopefully that I will see you next week as we come together. Amen. I am not going to hit the you too hard next week. So please, bring your friends. Don't say, oh, the pastor is going to hit us so hard. I'm not going to do that next week. Amen. Say, Matthew 22:37-40 says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Before then, you see this verse, 37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is, you have to relate with God with all that you have. And then the second one, that verse 38, is saying you have to relate with your neighbors. You have to relate together. Even as we are together in the church, please, if you want to make this church great, let us relate together. Let us respect each other. Let us be there for each other. Let us be very considerate with each other. Are you listening to me now? Don't put somebody off. Don't use unnecessary body language. Don't talk somebody down. Don't look down on anybody. Everyone is important. I am the president of my house. Even if you have more money than I do, in my house I'm still the president. You cannot rule a nation and come and rule my house also. I rule in my house. Amen. I am the governor, I am the mayor, I am the president. Just that small house.
That roof. I am that.
Everyone wants to die. Don't just come in and then take over the old surrounding. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And let's see this other one. Say, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then he said, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you want to be the friend of Jesus Christ, do what Jesus commanded you. If you want to have a good relationship with somebody, let us work in agreement. Don't let us violate unnecessary rules. When we do that, it's not going to be peaceful for any of us. In the house, children, follow all the rules of your parents to make the house peaceful. Why? Follow the rules of your husband. Husband, follow the rules of your wife. You are a companion. Amen?
Amen?
The husband is the head. The wife is the neck. And the neck will turn the head to anywhere the head must go. Amen. Is that good? Hey, I know my mother, they are very happy. They are very happy. Father, we bless you this afternoon. We worship you because we are rational beings. We want to thank you for the opportunity we have to know you. Even as we continue to dwell on this message, you will help us. You will help us. Father, by the time we come out of this one, we shall be the one that you desire that we should be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every area of our lives that we need you, we ask, oh God, that you will help us. And you bring us shining. Thank you, precious Lord. Help us to live in the light of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think today we are going to do something very important. Something very important.